The greatest need of our day is the solidification of our families. The breakdown of the family is the single greatest catastrophe that we corporately face as a culture. But in order to reestablish it, everybody's got to play their role. We've talked about the role of the husband as head of the family, the role of the wife as helper of the family. We've looked at the role of parents as managers of the home together. And today we want to look at the role of children. Now, everyone here is somebody's child. So the principles, while they will be applied differently, are applicable across the board because we're all children. And yet we have in our audience numbers of teenagers in particular who are having to battle through this thing of my responsibility in my home. And you have one. We have parents who are battling teenagers on this thing of the role of children, the flip side of the role of parents. We are living in a day of changing values, much like the proverbial frog in the kettle. They would put a frog in some cold water and it would go flopping around, and then they would put a fire under it and lead it to a slow boil. The frog would get so used to frivolity in the water, it wouldn't notice how hot the water was getting until it was too late. The culture has put our families under a slow boil. And out of this boil has come a very rebellious culture. Almost 10 million kids a year abuse their parents in a physical way, either through murder or dismembering or some violent act where the authorities have to step in to deliver the parents. Rap music has become one of the perennial rebellious media-driven emphases of our day. Not only from words that instruct you to be a cop killer, but from stances that mark rebellion and disregard. There used to be a time when the children went to school, it would be no Mrs. Jones. Yes, Mr. Smith. Because there was a temperament of respect. Now, if you get a nod, you're lucky. We're in a day of rebellion. Instead of children obey your parents, we could rewrite it today: parents obey your children. It's like one father who asked another father. He said, "Do you spank your children?" The other father said, "Certainly in self-defense." Because that has become much of the day that we live in, a day when roles have gotten topsy-turvy. In fact, one might say what we're watching today in our culture is the adultification of children. You don't have to go far to hear about the decrease in parental authority and the increase in children's rights. The right for children in the area of self-determination, the right for children in the area of sexual expression and freedom, the rights of children from being punished by their parents. And so if you are a child at home, you are faced with a culture that says, rebel. If you are an adult and you are not at home, you may be living out the rebellion that you picked up at home, and it just shows up away from home. And you may be getting from your teenager a payback for what you gave your mama and daddy. After watching a television program about rebellious youth, a husband and wife were looking at each other, and the man said, "What a mess. Where did our generation go?" The wife simply said, "Well, we had children. And it's come up again." So we're living in a day when the roles are reversed, when the whole family, the structure has been compromised, where we must get back on target as the people of God. Paul, the apostle, speaks to Christians at Ephesus about the family, the role of husbands, the role of wife. Last time we looked at the role of parents, we want to back up to chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and look at the two things every kid ought to give their mother and father. The two things every kid ought to give their mother and father, and everyone in here today is a kid of somebody. You are to give your parents obedience, and you are to give your parents honor. Those are the two things every child owes their parents. Now, I'm certain that raises a number of questions. How much do I obey? How far do I go? Suppose I'm not living at home. What happens if my kid decides not to follow my instructions? On and on. There are many questions that come in this area of child rearing from the side of the child. Let's look at them as they unfold in these three verses. First of all, children are to obey their parents. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul, the apostle, writes the church because it was the job of the church to tell the families how to function. So we are within our right as a church to tell the family how to function. Paul says, children, obey your parents. Let me read that again. Children, obey your parents. It does not read, children obey your parents, parents obey your children, parents obey your parents. It reads, children obey your parents. Now, why is that important? Because there is a fundamental distinction between children and parents. Those terms are not synonymous. If I were to put it in a bigger issue, I'd put it in the area of theology proper. And one of the characteristics of God is that he is transcendent. When we say that God is transcendent, we mean he is distinct from his creation. As one man put it, there is only one God and we are not he. He is distinct. He sits outside of creation, although he is involved in creation. The problem with the New Age movement is that they want to merge men with God as though we are twins. And God is in a class all by himself. Just as God is transcendent from his creation, parents are different from children. And because we have not maintained the difference, because we have 13-year-olds who want to be 30-year-olds. They tell you in the movie house, no one admitted under the age of 17. But today you don't know who's 17 anymore. Because they can take a 13-year-old girl and make her look 25. Because there has been a blurring of who the children are and who the parents are. Sometimes we can visit our homes and we don't know who's in charge. There is no scripture that says parents obey your children. There is no Bible teaching that says parents obey your children. What the Bible says is children obey your parents. The Greek word techna, which is children, meant all offspring. The reason God gives children parents is that those children might have a filtered life. If you are a Christian parent, your job is to filter the life of your children in such a way that you break their will without breaking their spirit. Because no matter how cute you are as a child, you're sinfully cute. Rebellion is built in the heart of a child. And that's why a child must learn obedience. Please notice why you ought to obey. He gives two reasons. He says, obey them in the Lord. Now, you might be tempted to read over that fast, but don't read it fast. Obey your parents, teenagers, in the Lord. What he says here is that obedience to your parent is comparable, listen to this, to obedience to God when what your parents are asking you to do agrees with God. Let me say it another way. When a child rebels against their parent, God looks at it as rebelling against himself. So when you hold up your hand against your mother and father because you don't like their instruction, but there's nothing wrong with their instruction other than you don't want it, God looks at that as raising a fist in his face. So when you look at your mother and father and say, I am not going to do it, God just heard you say, I don't care what you think, God, either. So I just wanted you to know that. That when there is rebellion against parents, there is rebellion against God, because this not only has to do with parents, it has to do with the Lord. He says, obey them in the Lord. Now, of course, it's up to parents to make sure we're raising them in the Lord. That is, we're not contradictory in our raising them. It's in conjunction with Scripture. And one of the things that we as parents must do in order to really maximize this is raise our children in concert with the book of Proverbs. Let me just show you a couple of passages real quick in Proverbs that shows you this importance. For example, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, my son. 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. My daddy taught me, I'm taught teaching you. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments within you, keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart, my son. So what am I saying? I am saying that God wants kids to follow their parents. The Bible says that a disobedient child brings grief to his parents, Proverbs 10:1. It brings unhappiness and destruction to his father, Proverbs 17, verse 21, 19, verse 13. And it can disgrace a whole family, Proverbs 19, verse 26. So obedience is no small thing. So let's get it straight. Teenagers, if you are at home, your attitude must be, mother, father, unless you tell me to disregard God, I will obey you. I may not want it, I may not like it, I may not prefer it, I may not desire it, but I am the child. You are the parent. God has given me my role. And since I want to please the Lord, I will obey you. A lady one day was in the shopping center in a department store. And the little girl kept tugging at her and crying and whining. And the mother said, "Quiet, Suzanne. Just calm yourself, Suzanne. Take it easy, Suzanne." The proprietor was very amazed at how firmly this woman was correcting the situation, and wanted to compliment it. And he looked over to the little girl and said, "Well, your name's Suzanne." The mother said, "No, her name is Joan. I'm Suzanne." And unfortunately, that's how it is far too often. Instead of us as parents controlling the situation, the kids control the situation. Obedience is the role of children. And it is a spiritual issue. It is a theological issue. If you are giving your parents hell on earth, you are rebelling against God. If they say yes and you say no, that is rebellion against God. Unless they are telling you something that is outside of God, you are obligated to obey. He goes on and he says, it's not only in the Lord, it is right. That is, it is the righteous thing to do. It is the equitable thing to do. Why is it right? Well, let's start with the fact that parents brought you here. Let's continue with the fact that they've lived longer, so they know more. The modern version of this is right is, parents, obey your children, for it will keep you happy and bring peace in your home. The issue is not, do you have peace? The issue is, do you have a biblical home? And if the only way you can have peace is by you obeying your children, the only way that children have peace is by them demanding their parents, then we have a backwards home structure. Righteousness, of course, is always based on what God says, because the word of the Lord is right. But that raises a very interesting question, doesn't it? How long do I have to obey them? You may not be home now, and you say, my mother and father keep calling me up and telling me what to do. They're still my mother and father. Do I still obey them? Where does it end, and how does it work? It's a fair question. The context of this passage is a family, a husband and a wife and children. So it is a nuclear setting. As long as your mother and father are providing you provisions and protection, because you're under their roof, you must adhere to their precepts and follow their preferences. Let me say that again. If you eaten their food in their house, sleeping on their bed, in their room, and you have a key to their door, then you must obey their rules. It's as simple as that. Now, if you are 30 years old, but you're living in your mama's house and eating your mama's food and have a key to your mama's door, then you have to obey your mama's rules because you are depending upon them. They are making provision for you. If you cannot or will not obey, then you must move. If you cannot and will not obey, then you must move. Once you have moved, then you're no longer looking to them for provision and protection. Okay? But now don't move, then pick up the telephone, calling back, talking about loan me some money. If you gonna move, move. Or at least if you're going to call for some money, be willing to obey. Because the issue is, if the parents are providing provision and protection, then they have the right to obedience both on precepts and preferences. In other words, they have the right to say, in my home, I want things done this way. That's not a biblical issue, it's just their preference, but they have the right to their preference because it's their house. Okay? We have fun when I go back home to Baltimore, and one of the things that my kids love to see is what my mother does when we go back home. Because when we go back home, you know, all that Pastor Evans, Dr. Evans stuff don't mean a thing. No, doesn't mean a thing. I come in the house, my mama talking about boy this and boy that. And I'll say something, my mother will say, shut up, boy. You know? And then what my kids like to see, even to today, if I'm not doing something my mother and sister aren't doing, she pulls out a belt. Now, I'm a 46-year-old man, and she still pulls out a belt. And then my kids be saying, hit him, Grandma, hit him, hit him. You know? And you know something? If she hit me, I have to take it. If she hit me, in her home. Now, my father's gonna kill me for telling you this, but I'm gonna tell you a true story that happened. He's gonna kill me when this comes over radio. I'm gonna edit this thing out so he doesn't hear this. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm about 10 or 11 years old, and my father takes the family over to Granddaddy's house for Thanksgiving dinner, as we did every year. We're all sitting around the table, and we're about to eat Thanksgiving dinner. My brother, Arthur Evans, was misbehaving at the table. My father told him to stop, or I'm going to spank you. My father's father told my father, you're not going to spank him. You could hear a hush in the room. I remember thinking, now this I gotta see. So we got a little conflict. It's my father's son, my brother, but it's my father's father. So we got clashing generations. My father disregarded his father and slapped my brother at the table after his father told him, don't do it. My father's father slapped my father just like My father's father slapped my father just like he had slapped my brother. My father slapped my brother because my brother didn't do what his father said. But my grandfather slapped my father because his son didn't do what his father said. Who was right? My grandfather. And the reason why my grandfather was right is we were in his house. We were in his house. Now, what my father did, obviously he was embarrassed, he was hurt. In the middle of dinner, because we were right there sitting there in the middle of dinner, my father got up, angry, told us, let's go. We all walked out. Now my brother had it. Because when we left my grandfather's house, he no longer had to obey my grandfather's rules. Because he was no longer under my grandfather's provision. He was no longer obligated because he was now removed. My point is that if you are going to be at home, you must abide by the rules. Or you must leave. It is right, he says. And that's what we as parents must do. We must bring our children into conformity. And we must not negotiate it. Not just fly off the handle and say some ridiculous thing like the flight attendant who was flying and a little kid was running up and down the aisle as they crossed the Atlantic, just running up and down the aisle, finally ran into her and knocked over the coffee. She looked at him frustrated, mad, and said, go outside and play. You need something reasonable, something that can work. So first of all, children, obey your parents. Now, even if you're not home, if what your parents tell you can be backed up by what God says, you should obey. Because it's God. I mean, it's coming from the Word of God, and God's Word flows to us through many mechanisms. Whether the pastor tells you, you should obey him. If another saint tells you, you should obey them, because it's based on the Word of God. But you're no longer, once you leave your parents' home, obligated to their preferences. You don't have to do their preferences anymore. But as long as you're in their home, you must abide by their precepts and preferences, because they're providing you provision and protection. So if you're a teenager here and you're rebellious, you have two choices. Stay there and get it right, or leave. Those are your only options. Your option is not stay there and disrupt this family. That is not one of your options. Secondly, let's move along here. Children are to honor their parents. Notice, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. Honor, that Greek word honor, tomeo, means to value highly, to hold in highest regard, to honor. The reason why we have so much disrespect in the streets and in the schools is the kids have never learned respect in the home. It boils down to that. If they don't learn to respect daddy and mama, they may not learn to respect policemen, judge, another person's property. And that's why Satan wants to destroy the home, because he can destroy honor in the culture. How big a deal was this? I'll show you how big a deal it was. Exodus 21. This thing of honoring parents, holding them with respect. Exodus 21, verse 15. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17. And he who curses his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. The thought that a child in Israel would use profanity against his mother and father. You know how many children cuss out their parents? Do you know that that meant the gas chamber in Israel? Guess what? There is no record in all of the Bible of any kid in Israel ever being killed for disrespecting their parents. Guess why? How come you don't have any illustrations of this in the Bible? Because they weren't crazy. They knew this thing was real. So you never have one illustration of it ever happening. Because when they got ready to say, you, oh, I love you. They fixed that thing up fast. Because that could cost you your life. So you get the impression that this was no small thing. You could not abuse your parents physically or verbally. Used to be a time when grown men walked down the streets and kids were coming down the other way, but kids moved out the way. Or ladies coming down the street, the kids moved out the way. Why? Because adults were coming, right? Now we see the kids coming and we cross and go to the other side of the street. They're not afraid of us. We are afraid of them. Why? Because parents didn't take care of business in the home and allow them to get away with it. Honor your father and your mother. Now let me ask you teenagers something. Are you honoring your mother and father? Do you hold them in high esteem? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, dad. Yes, mom. I don't like it, but you're dad. I'm child. I want to honor you. Honor your mother and father. They've got to learn this. We've got to teach it to them. It must be reinforced. Like the boy went to the department store at Christmas time. Mother had all these packages in her hand. He got on one of these horses and she was saying, get off, son. He said, no. Get off, son. No. I said, get off. Uh-uh. I'll get you this for Christmas. No. I did it. No. Get out. No. She was sweating and all this kind of stuff. And Santa Claus was sitting right there. Santa Claus was watching this. So he went over and whispered in the kid's ear. Kid smiled and jumped off the horse. Mother said, what did you promise him? Santa said, I promised him I was going to beat his black backside. Black and blue. Boy, get off that horse. See, we promising the wrong stuff. I promise I'll do this if you obey. You're promising the wrong thing. Like the boy said, I got to go home and clean up my room. I got to do a spick and span. Is your mother going to reward you when you clean up your room? No, my mama rewards me when I don't. You ever do that? Please clean up your room and I'll get you a popsicle. No, we promise the wrong things. Hey, look at a nice story in Scripture. 2 Kings 2. This thing of respect, that's what the honoring is basically, is respect. 2 Kings 2, got to keep running here. 2 Kings 2, verse 23. Then when he went up from there, Elisha, and as he was going by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him, made fun of him, and said, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. When he had looked behind and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 of their number. Now the rest that were left weren't saying, you bald head anymore. What I want to show you is that disrespect brought death. And the reason why so many of our kids are dying is because they never learned respect and it's costing them their lives. Now, what happens if you have a kid and you can't handle it? He's rebellious. This son, this girl, I'm not going to do it. I'm not talking about misbehaving. All kids are going to misbehave. I'm talking about rebellion. They won't leave, but they stay in there and causing hell on earth for you. Numbers of you have asked me that. What should you do? Do I call the police? I don't want to lock. What do I do? The Bible tells you what to do. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of the city shall stone him to death, so that you may remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear. Hello. Hello. Here's what you do. You have a rebellious child, you bring him to the church. The elders of the city would be comparable to the elders of the church. You bring him to the church. If he is in your house and will not obey, you bring him to the church. The church will admonish him on your behalf. As I gave a somewhat humorous illustration last week, but true story of the young man who was rebelling, 15 years old, he wouldn't obey, too young to go anywhere out of the house. He was brought to the leaders of our church. Seven men got in a room with him, eyeballed him. He's been straight ever since, okay? That's exactly what you do. You bring him to the church, the covenanted community. If he will not listen to the covenanted community, then he is then passed over. The church has no right to physical death, but he's passed over to civil authorities for the state to do with him what they will. But before you send him to jail, you bring him to the church. Before you cast him to the dogs, you bring him to the church. And the men of the church, the elders, act on behalf of God to give him one final chance of hope and forgiveness. And teenagers, I'm telling you right now that if your parents bring you to the church, not because you misbehave, everybody misbehaves, but because you rebel, and you will not listen to the church, which represents Jesus Christ, then we will do all that we can to see that the state maximizes its punishment to you. Because you had a chance at home, you had a chance at church, you disregarded them all, it is then left up to the state. That's God's way. Or if you don't want that, then you must leave. But you cannot stay there and be a glutton and a drunkard. And no parent has to say, my kid gets drunk every night, he comes in 4 a.m, but he won't leave. Honor your parents. Now, how do you honor your parents? Let me say a few things. First of all, you honor them emotionally. You render praise to your parents. When's the last time you praised your mother and father? Some mothers and fathers are wasting away in old folks' home that hardly pay them any attention, and it's been a year since you've been there. They're emotional wrecks already. They're physically depreciated, and they don't hear from you. You say, but you don't know about my mother. She was a terrible mother. And you don't know about my father. He was a terrible father. Well, he did one thing right. He didn't abort you. You hear? They did one thing right. They kept you alive. They must have fed you something. You hear? You went through school. They did something. I'm not saying honor them for their wrong. I'm saying recognize them for their position. They're still your mama and still your papa. And you can honor them. Honor them verbally. I wish I would go home and call my father Art. His name is Arthur. I can go in there and say, hey, Art. He would say, you better put a handle on that name. Paul told Timothy, do not rebuke an older man sharply. In other words, even if he's wrong, you still respect him. He says, you verbally, how you talk to him. Your mother and father, they're not, hey, you. Their mom, their dad. You honor them verbally. Then you honor them spiritually by encouraging their spiritual well-being. Then you honor them financially. Look at 1 Timothy. But if any widow has children, chapter 5, verse 4, 1 Timothy, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Financially. Verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them and let not the church be burdened. You have financial responsibility for your parents when they cannot take care of themselves. And that means more than buying them a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card. It means their well-being in their old age, when they lose their health, has to be assisted by you. Now, maybe they can't live with you, and maybe for health reasons, they do have to be in a home, but you should be looking after their welfare. Don't ask when the Mother's Day check is coming. That's not the issue. The issue is make some return, verse 4 says. She carried you for 9 months. She went through hours of labor to bring you here. She provided you milk. She took the bus to go on the other side of town to scrub other people's floor so that you could eat, you could have clothes, you could go to school. She gave everything she had, and maybe it was defective, maybe it was faulty, but she was your mother. Your father, one of our elders, I'm so proud of him. The father had left them when he was a child. Now he's ill in the hospital. The other kids won't have anything to do with him, but he goes to that hospital regularly because he's still his dad. Bad dad as he was, he's dad. And who knows but that this might win him to Christ. Finally, honor brings blessing. It brings a quality of life and a quantity of life. Let me look at this real quickly. Ephesians 6 says, that it may go well with you and that you may live long upon the earth, verse 3 says. First of all, if you honor your parents, you'll be blessed with a greater quality of life. That is, you'll avoid the curse. That means God will answer your prayers. And it will go well with you. Do you want God to bless your career? Do you want God to bless your education? Do you want him to give you some financial help in college? Do you want God to come through and give you, help you to find a good mate? You better honor your mother and father, because if you don't, it won't go well with you. And many of us are having a messed up life because of the parents we messed up. It's not going well with us because we never fixed it with mom and dad, which means when you leave here today, you need to make a phone call. Mom, I've disregarded you. Dad, I've not appreciated you. I didn't handle my sonship or daughtership right. My life is a wreck. But I found out this Old Testament principle is repeated in the New Testament because it still applies. And I want it to go well with me. Quality of life. Finally, a quantity of life, that you may live long upon the earth. Now, I raised the question, what do you mean? I'm going to live to be an old man? I know a lot of kids on their parents didn't live long. Well, let me tell you what it means. It means all the life you're supposed to have, you'll get. You won't die at 40 if you're supposed to live to be 70. You'll make all your ordained days. Many kids are dying young because they didn't honor their parents. It's costing them their lives. Quality of life. Why? Because not to honor your parents means that the covering of God is removed from you. So, you are to obey and honor your parents.